Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I just want everybody to know that we had a tremendous time. On Tuesday, we were at the restaurant in Chicago, Illinois, with the minister, Louis Farrakhan. And I tell you, myself and my TI family, we were just, I mean, it was just tremendous. Those of you who did not make it, you should have been there. But it was great. It was great. And last week, before that, I even had the pleasure of having a conference with not one, not two, not three, not four, but six representatives from the House. So that was a blessing. So we're moving on. We have to stay focused. We have to do the things that we need to do. And we have right now we have three exciting guests on the line who will be listening to our show, and I just want everybody to know that we are just happy to have them aboard. Anytime someone wants to come out and listen to what we have to say, hey, it's a blessing all by itself. But I'm going to bring on my good friend, my guy, my man, Ken Rose. I'm always excited because the work he do is so tremendous. I mean, if you ever been out with him, you would know the things that he does. So, you know, those of you who are not out there, not really out in the field like you should be thanking Ken Rose. Because I tell you, when we get together, we really put in some work. Ken Rose, are you there?
Yes, I'm Reverend Pinckney. How are you doing today?
Ken, I am doing sensational. I tell you, I was out cutting my grass today, and I tell you, I had a couple of calls that really got me excited. And I tell you, I appreciate when people go beyond the call of duty just to hear what Reverend Edward Pinckney has to say. But Ken, I tell you, we don't have a whole lot of time. I want to do, but I want you to talk about those ministers and their job to take them to if something happened, that they should be taken to those camps. Can you just give us a little history on that, and then you can talk about whatever you want?
Yes, that you're talking the 501 C3. That's the
right. And the 501 C3s.
Right. Then when they join that. Now, that was started back in, I think, 1962 by Lyndon B. Johnson, because the churches was opposing him in Texas. And he said, we got to get them under control, under our control. So he came up with this plan to let them be tax exempt, which they was already tax exempt anyway. He didn't give them anything. But then they come in and got them signed papers and give them a van or do some yard work. And then they belong to the government after that. And then they join what they call the clergy response team. And once that clergy response team, they're told if we have civil unrest, civil war, anything happens real bad, you tell your prisoners to lay down their guns, march into the FEMA camps where they'll be safe and taken care of and fed. The only thing is they don't call them FEMA camps. They call them family centers. But yet they got two 20-foot high wall fences around them with barbed wire pointing inside. It don't sound like a place, whether I believe in a church or don't believe in it, it don't sound like a place that I want to run to be safe.
Not me either. You say they're going to call them family camps?
They call them family centers.
Family centers. All right. Wow. It sounds like a place that if you don't know that you might want to go.
Right. Well, they charge you the TIs enough out here. I don't think there's – I can't believe there'd be too many TIs want to run into a family center, which is really a prison camp. But yet when that got exposed, they showed I've seen pictures of 100,000 or better caskets out in a field that would hold 3 to 4 bodies in each one, black caskets for civil unrest. So what are they getting ready for? We got 1,000 of those. I call them FEMA camps because they were built by Halliburton.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all over the United States. So what are they getting ready for with all these caskets? And then this clergy response team with all these prison camps, and they're already staffed. Most of them are staffed up right now waiting.
Wow, that's amazing. Let me ask you this, Ken. How long have you been a TI?
I've been a TI since probably early 50, 51. I'm 69 years old.
And you know what? You seem like a guy that got it pretty well together to me.
Well, I thought I had it together a lot more than they stole all my money, but that's beside the point. The money, you don't need the money. You don't need the money like you need your freedom, I tell you that. And the funny thing is, this technology is so dangerous and so ruthless that they're ruthless people. You won't even know you're getting hit with it until they want you to know. And then that's the part that's scary, because most people, when their TIs, when it first starts happening, they have no clue. They're going around in circles, and they think they're the only one in the world, and everybody's against them. Well, that's meant to isolate you, but eventually we find each other, and I'd say there's a lot more than what people know about this out here. This technology is being used widespread, and even all them churches that think they're a 501c, and they think they belong to the clergy response team, this is getting used on the people of all them churches too, but yet they don't know it.
Wow, that's amazing, Kent. Ken, you got about 90 seconds. What else you want the people to know?
Well, mostly we're talking to TIs tonight, but they better know. They better start. Freedom is never won by sitting on the sidelines. Everybody better get out and start passing out papers and informing people what they're doing. This is the most ruthless government in the history of the world we got right now.
Wow, that's amazing. I tell you one thing. Whenever I'm with you, you always doing something. You always passing out DVDs. You always passing out papers. And, hey, I tell you, that is tremendous, Ken. I really appreciate you for the work you do.
Well, I appreciate you too, Reverend Pinkney.
All right, then. Listen, I'm going to move on, but if you got something to say, just holler.
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's bring in my very good friend, my girl, Gloria. Gloria, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinkney.
How are you doing today?
I am here. I'm good. I'm very good today.
You know, I'm really, really proud of you, and I tell you, you've been a TI. How long have you been a TI?
I became a TI June 15, 2009. That's a day, like the birth of a child or an anniversary. Those are days you'll never forget. I had a neighbor come across the street to me as I pulled in from work and said, "Oh, they say you're losing it." And I thought it was something in my car. I said, "Oh, is it gas or oil?" No, your mind. I said, "What?" "Oh, yeah, they said you're losing your mind." So I said, "Well, who is they?" They said the chief of police in the Morton Borough. I live in a small town of Morton,
mm-hmm.
in the Morton Borough. And this was on a Thursday afternoon. I said, "Well, let them know when I stop working, I've lost it." And that Sunday night, about 12:30 at night, it got started. My targeting got started. And within a month of that time, I was sent to a mental hospital. I never stopped working. I worked every day. But one evening, I was wakened several nights a week by piercing sounds to my ears. And I would get up and sit on my porch for a while, and then I'd go back and try and sleep. So I said, well, this time I'm going to go to bed early, and I'll just wake up and work around the house. Well, something hit me in the side of my face, in the left side of my face, as I was laying in my bed. And I sat up thinking my eyes were going to roll out or my nose was going to bleed. So I cupped my hands. And after a few moments, I said, well, I am 58. Maybe I'm having a stroke or something. I decided, let me just run up to the hospital and get checked out. And it's as if they were waiting for me. Within a half hour to 45 minutes, a straight jacket was put on me. I was taken to one mental hospital. They said they were full. They took me out of that hospital into the ambulance. Halfway to where we were going, I was taken out of that ambulance, and we were on the highway because I can remember the cars driving by. I was taken out of that ambulance and put into another one, and then I was sent on to the facility, and they wanted me to stay for 8 days. I had a closed-circuit conference with the judge and a lawyer, and the judge said, you sound pretty good to me. I don't know why you can't go home. The doctor almost did backflips. She needs at least 20 days, at least 20 days.
Mm.
So I was refusing to take the medication because when they first came to me, I said, I don't take medication. So what they would do, they would call my daughter, and then she would call me totally upset. Mom, please, please, she'd be crying. I said, all right, Autumn, I'll handle this. It's okay. So I decided I would take one pill so I could have a conversation with the doctor about the medication. So I took it at night. I said, oh, by the time I wake up in the morning, it should have worn, it'd be worn off. Little did I know, it was Risperdal. I sat down to, they would wake you up 6:30 in the morning. I sat down to take the, my vital signs, and I fell asleep. I went to breakfast. I hardly ate because I had difficulty picking the fork up and putting it to my mouth. I couldn't pick my feet up to walk. You just sort of slid around. And I thought, 20 days of this, I'll be a zombie. So every night I would get to the nurse's station. I'd be the first one there, pop the pill in my mouth, take the swig of water, walk down the hall, spit the pill out in the toilet, and I would use my foot and flush the toilet. I made it like a ritual. And, you know, no one could help me. You would call the police. There was no help there. They would look at you. You sure you don't want to go back to the hospital? And within the 2 weeks of me being in that hospital, I had, my ears were hurting. My eardrums were very painful. So I went across the street. I can see the doctor's office from my house. I asked them, I said, could you give me something just dropped from my ears? It's very painful. And she said, well, I can't help you right now, but I have somebody that will. And two police came in and handcuffed me and drugged me out of the office.
Mm.
But this particular facility they took me to, I had to wait several hours for the doctor. When the doctor came.
Is that the second facility you were in?
Yes, that was the second facility they had taken me
wow.
to.
You know what? I had the opportunity to meet you, and I could tell you about the same as anybody I ever met. And you very articulate. And I just think that this is the thing that they do to TIs because they don't want you to get the word out there. They don't want people to know the truth. And I think that is so tremendous. We have to continue to fight this battle. And I have made a pledge to fight with you, T.I.S. And so that's the way it's going to be, Gloria. So, you know, we're just going to stay focused and do, because even today, We have a full board. I mean, when you have this many people, and this is strictly for my TI people, other than my guest that's on the line, but this is for all the TIs on Thursday night. So, I'm just here to tell everybody that when people say they're TI, they're not nuts. You know, if anything, the government is trying to drive them nuts. So we have to stand up for what is right, regardless of what it is. But go ahead. Do you have something short that you want to read for me? Because I want to bring on my good friend. Just tell me what you got, and you want to read it, go right ahead.
I'm going to read something from the Express, and that's a publication of the Washington Post.
Okay.
And it says...
Oh, that was published in the Washington Post. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, the Express paper. That's the free paper that they give away, but it's
yes.
a part of the Washington Post.
Okay, well, that's some pretty powerful stuff, young lady.
Well, you should hear it. You haven't heard
All
it
right,
yet.
All right, well, you know my ears
okay.
are open.
All right. To the President of the United States of America. The NSA surveillance scandal is the tip of the iceberg in America. Thousands of whistleblowers, descendants, dissidents, and other innocents are being surveilled, stalked, harassed, sabotaged, and covertly attacked. Dear President Obama, we the people who have been targeted, tortured, and terrorized by covert protocols of harassment, predatory stalking, and sabotage are urgently requesting that our president order an immediate investigation and a complete halt to this assault on innocent law-abiding citizens. At this writing, there are estimated 500,000 or more victims in the United States, including many whistleblowers, dissidents, as well as everyday citizens whose sabotage has been arranged. Others appear to have been unwittingly placed into research programs designed to develop supposedly non-lethal weapons, including directed energy weapons, which are inaudible and invisible. Yet it can cause very severe symptoms in the victim. These symptoms can include severe pain, difficulty thinking, and emotional distress. Some victims are subjected to the microwave auditory effect, a property of microwaves which, when modulated and directed in a specific fashion at the victim, causes voices which are perceived as arising from within or slightly behind the victim's head. Victims are simultaneously subjected to predatory group stalking and harassment with surveillance technologies that include wiretapping, computer hacking, and listening devices installed in our homes. We once led productive lives, and some of us still do, but many of us now find ourselves being defamed and falsely labeled as mentally ill or a potential domestic terrorist. There in turn has resulted in many of us blacklisted and prevented from employment, housing, and medical care. Many victims live in chronic pain and illness. Some have lost hope and have committed suicide. Some believe this could well be a secret government program to target dissidents, whistleblowers, and other undesirables. If so, this would be in keeping with past government programs known to have targeted innocent people, such as COINTELPRO and MKUltra. Mr. President, we respectfully request that you help the hundreds of thousands of people in America who are being subjected to these crimes against humanity, which represent an egregious infringement of the civil rights and liberties upon which the United States was founded. At the same time, we feel it is important to warn the general public that at any given moment, they too may become victims of these crimes. Sincerely, the Board of Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance, on behalf of the hundreds of thousands of covert crime survivors. For more information, you can call 1-800-571-5618 or www.freedomfchs.com. Thank you for listening.
Wow, that was tremendous. Can you give me a little summary of it if you can?
Yes. Well, Freedom was a place, when this was happening to me, I had no clue. You would call the police. You were hit. I was being electronically harassed. Like shocks were mostly going through my head. People would walk by, you get a shock. You think, oh, is it that person? Or is it that car? Oh, my God, that dog just went by and I got a shock. You think everyone is doing this to you. Everything is doing this to you. You notice that friends that you would call to talk to, they were no longer answering your calls. They were no longer returning your calls. Even your family members would distance themselves from you. And in all this, you're in a constant panic, and you don't know what the heck is going on, what's happening. And I said to my son, because he was getting ready to move to California, and I said, son, please, before you leave here, help me find out what this is. And he said, okay, Mom. He went on the computer for several hours, and we came up with a book by Dr. John Hall. It was called A New Breed, Satellite Terrorism in America. I read that book. It was a small book. It's a thin book. I might have read it in 3 hours. In the back of it, there was the Freedom number. And when you call that number, the first voice you get, they say, you are not alone. And just that alone, I was able to take a deep breath. Because until then, I was in such a panic, I didn't even know if I was breathing or not.
Wow.
But I
wow.
had a sigh of relief at that point. And then the next
Gloria,
person that
listen.
Called me was Derek Robinson.
Wow,
yes.
That's beautiful. Listen, Gloria, I got to bring on Amy now because we want to make sure we get everybody in. But, hey, I really want to thank you for that. That was tremendous. So, listen, you
I
stay with
you
me.
Copy.
We have some time at the end. I'll let you sum it up again.
All right.
All
I
right
sent you
now.
A copy of this, Reverend Pinkney.
Okay, do that. Do that. That would be wonderful. Amy, are you on the line? Amy, are you there?
I am on the line, Reverend Pinkney.
Oh, okay.
Where
I couldn't
you
hear
get?
You. All right. All right. Listen, I know
okay.
you got something that you want to say. Why don't you go on and tell us what you want us to hear?
Okay. Well, I will first say, when I first became a targeted individual, I didn't know what was going on. But I'm going to put this in it, so, and then I'm going to explain what happened. I walked past some Muslims in the from the Richmond study group. And the study group is in Richmond, California, and under the leadership of Minister Louis Farrakhan, from Master Farad Muhammad and also Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Those three people became a spiritual tool in my life because I was relieved right along with running into Derek Robinson, FFCHS, helping me understand what was happening in my life with this targeted individual techniques used on me to torture, that was designed to torture me burned my body electronically with electronic devices, assaulting and stinging my body. And the Muslims told me they knew about the heart-mind control, and they knew what was happening with the technology. And from them telling me that, that took a thousand, probably a million, maybe a trillion pounds off my shoulders, just to know that people know that you're not crazy and these things are happening. And this is my story. It started from the cell phone. They take over your electronic devices, cell phone, computer. And these are computer hacker agents that's assigned to use this technology on you from a shadow government. And I experienced my cell phone being hacked on, and then I discovered the agent who is attacking me. His name is Jonah R. Montranga and Holly Brooks. And once I discovered their identity, they began to torture me and constantly torture me, trying to make people think I'm mentally ill so they could cover up what was happening. But when I became attacked by government mind control technology and tortured by microwave energy, burning my skin and making me experiencing being placed on fire from extreme high amounts of radiation radiating my body. I visited after leaving the mental hospital. I knew I wasn't mentally ill. I wanted to know what kind of power that could possess this type of control over me and torture me and manipulate my mind, because I went to the hospital, wanted to get some help, but that was a no-no for a TI. At the time, I didn't know that, because they have this system in place for the doctors and the police officers to lock TIs up for reporting these crimes. That's sad when somebody locks you up for wanting to know that somebody is doing something to your body. But after I did only a 72 observation 4 years ago, never been back since, because I learned what was happening. I learned the alternative to fight for my pain. I do not go to the hospital. I do not take medications, because I learned that this technology can mimic life so close to make people believe that the pains that are caused to their bodies are natural life experiences when they are not. So I visit the library to get educated about what was happening in my life against my body. I reached and discovered a book named Mystery of the Mind and the Human Body. At that moment, I began to learn how government mind control can impact any in every living thing in the world. The answer can be simple if you know that the world and everything in it operates on vibrations and frequencies, including the human brain. Because this information is scientifically proven facts, no matter what one wants to believe or not, these things are true. Physiologists and scientists like Walter Hess, Jose Delgado, B.F. Skinner, Albert Einstein, Sigmund Freud were ones who experimented on the human brain, discovered how to stimulate the brain's electrical system to manipulate the mind, and later tried to control the behaviors of humans remotely with mind control technology. And with these supercomputers are supercomputer brain interfaces that simulates people's behavior. And they copy people, they spy on people, and they watch people for years and years and watching people habits and surveillance people. And once they learn how people behave, they start mimicking people. Now, when they decide they want to let you know, they start attacking you and torturing you, or they'll just create physical illness in you. Or God will just have to let you know. But the best thing I could tell people, you have to know that your body in general, if something strange is mechanically happening to your body, because they have remote access at your body, because we have soft metal particles. It's proven that we have aluminum, barium, titanic, and other soft metals in our bodies. Well, they can use the technology. It's called remote sensing and remote viewing, and they can pick up your brainwave functions. That's military technology. And also, you can look up government mind control patents, and they are using this technology, locating your frequency, because we all have our own frequency after using the after cloning our DNA. When we go to the doctors, no one on this phone can tell me, and I can't tell you, that we have control of our lab work when we release it. Well, they're using us as laboratory, our bodies as laboratory experimentation, not experimentation. They're turning our body into a laboratory research program for mind control technology to be used on us. And I'm going to name some of the weaponry and sum up, because I got respect and I want Derek Robinson to come on and introduce FFPHS. And my closing remarks is some of the weaponry are called psychotronic, and Prime Minister Vladimir Putin, a Russian prime minister, announced to the world that he would invest in psychotronic weaponry for future wars, because this is a psychotronic weapon on the mind. And the United States government is using this technology on their citizens globally, torturing them and trying to control their lives with this technology and drive them insane and create medical illnesses to give them slow death kills. Another name of the technology is acoustic, harp, active denial, ultra supersonic, death ray, blue beam. All are electromagnetic microwave or radio wave spectrum technologies that is used for mind control purposes. What is basically happening is someone at the highest level of the government is acting on the behalf of the shadow government and carrying out these mind control programs. And we need someone like Reverend Pinckney and others to step up and say, we know what you're doing to these citizens. You must cease from all these COVID activities, because this is wicked and demonic witchcraft, sorcery used on citizens, trying to make like they're mentally ill and that these things are not happening. Thank you for allowing me to listen for you.
Amy, that was tremendous. And I tell you, you are a very, very special friend of mine. And I appreciate the work that you do. And, you know, just stay focused. Let's not get sidetracked, because I think we're going to defeat this monster. And on that note...
Okay, let me say this right quick, Reverend Pinckney.
Make
many
it fast.
Many times, I want everybody to know, many times we call people, our faces and our bodies are on fire. It's like somebody throwed us in a fire, but these are radiation, high extreme radiation, burning our body, shocking our skin. And we need help. Thank you.
All right. On that note, I got to bring on my good friend, Derek Robinson. I just want to say you have been really tremendous in the work that you do, and the people that has finally rallied together. See, I keep telling people that I say it's a million TIs out here, and I believe that it even might even be more of that. But Derek, talk to me. Tell me what you want me to know and want my guests to know.
Okay, Reverend Pinckney, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Basically, you know, I appreciate what Amy and Gloria have shared. I mean, this is important information. And what I would like to share with you and your guests this evening is basically an overview of FFCHS. What I would like to do, Reverend Pinckney, at this time, if it's okay with you, if I would like to present that to him after you present your guests, because I would like to see what his perspective is so that I can more readily share with him what our organization is about.
Okay. Sounds good, Derek.
Okay, if you can bring me back for a couple minutes after he speaks, I think that would make it more relevant for me and for your guests.
Okay, I don't believe that they're going to be speaking. I'll ask them do they want to speak, but that wasn't part of the program. But at the end of the show, I will ask them do they want to make a few comments or something like that. But on that note, if you have something to say, why don't you say what you have to say, and then at the end of the show we'll ask.
Okay, well, I see. All right, well, I'll go ahead and do this presentation now then.
Yes.
Okay, basically what I want to do is present an overview of FFCHS for your guests. to let them know what our organization does and what we represent. I'm president of Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance. We are a human rights advocacy organization. We advocate on behalf of targeted individuals nationwide and worldwide. We are comprised of about 2,500 survivors of advanced surveillance and mind control technologies. Most of us are survivors of what is known as organized stalking and remote electronic assaults. Organized stalking is stalking and harassment that's done to an individual by a group of people. It's very basic. Remote electronic assaults are attacks using various forms of weaponized energy, such as microwaves, lasers, acoustic weapons, and other types, to produce a variety of effects on the mind and or body of an individual, such as disorientation, headaches, memory loss, eye damage, nosebleeds, ringing in the ears, sleep deprivation, breathing difficulties, heart attacks, heating of the skin, strokes, cancers, muscle cramps. Almost any human condition that you can think of can be induced remotely by these technologies. And even though many in our group face attacks that are injurious and even life-threatening to our mental, physical, and emotional health and well-being, there is no agency, department, commission, or task force formed to address our concerns. Therefore, at this time, we must come together as a community to help one another. We started in 2005 as a conference call group, and in 2006, we officially took on the name Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance and formed an organization to more readily address the needs of our community. The focus of our activism is in three areas: support for victim survivors, advocacy for our issues to elected officials, and outreach to the media and the general public. We have an online forum. We have telephone conference calls Monday through Friday evenings. Our podcast is on Saturday night. We have a number of support groups established in cities and states across the U.S., such as in Los Angeles, Seattle, New Orleans, Chicago, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Boise, Idaho, Morgantown, West Virginia, Washington, D.C., North Carolina, Michigan, Wisconsin, and the Northeast. News of our issues is gradually disseminating in the public realm, and that's very important. We were featured recently on Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory program, an episode called Brain Invaders, an episode of Richard Serrett's The Conspiracy Show in Canada, CNN News, the History Channel documentary about mind control, a recent Russia Today program, four local TV news stories, including San Antonio, Texas, Palm Springs, California, Salinas, California, and Sacramento, the Washington Post, New York Times, three appearances on George Norrie's Coast to Coast AM, and numerous internet radio programs. What we need from the Nation of Islam and other groups in society is to learn of these technologies, because they are eventually coming for everyone, and to assist victims to be free of these attacks. And we need a society to find ways to protect ourselves from those that prey upon those that are vulnerable with these advanced weapons, so that once again there will be liberty and justice for all. Our website is freedomfchs.com. Our toll-free number is 1-800-571-5618.
All right, Derek, that was tremendous. You know, it gives them an idea of what the target individual go through, and that's something that most people don't understand. If I told you that that most of these target individuals was insane, what would you say?
Well, a lot of the public has this impression of them because they have not taken the time to learn of the technologies that are being affected, that they are being affected with. I believe that if people would just take the time to do the research, they will find for themselves that these technologies have been in development for decades. It's all right there on the internet and on YouTube for them to see. All the animal studies are there, where they experimented with remote body manipulation. Jose Delgado's experiments are all there. The next step from these animal studies, cats and bulls and monkeys, is the human studies.
Mm.
Those obviously are not going to be available. But these technologies, this information, the protocols, MKUltra, all this information has been available to the public for decades. The Church Committee first revealed that the CIA had a mind control program. Nobody knew about that until the 70s. This was way back in the mid-70s when this happened. And the CIA claimed that they were going to shut everything down and there would be no more experiments. Of course, they were lying. The programs continued. They just changed the names and they kept going. The technologies have advanced to such a degree. Back in the 70s, they were able to dial up frequencies that could control masses of people. They could make them do whatever they wanted them to do just by suggestion. The right frequency produces the right effect. The right frequency produces the right health, the wrong or ill health in a human being. They can produce cancers. They can produce headaches, strokes. They can produce heart attacks. They can produce nausea. With the right frequency, this has been studied for decades, and they have it down to a science. We as a human race, we are at risk because these technologies are available, and they are definitely in the wrong hands of people who are abusive, who like to see people subjugated. They are their protocol, their agenda is to enslave the entire human race.
Wow.
It's not just a little organization. This is coming for all of humanity.
Wow. That's amazing, Gary. Hey, good answer, too. On that note, I got to bring in my good friend, Dorothy. So just bear with me. And remember, the people there online, they're only doing a fact finder. They not here. That wasn't part of the thing, but I will ask them if they want to comment. But we'll see, okay? All right. My good friend, Dorothy. Dorothy, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you well.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. First off, I just want to give a little bit of my background. I was law enforcement trained in college, working with the sheriff's department and police. I would also have a course in rape crisis management. And I would actually go on to get a degree in political science, master's in public administration, a secondary master's in contract federal negotiations and administration. When I left college, I would go into the United States military. And while in the military as an officer, I began watching and witnessing a great deal of questionable behavior. This is in the 80s, and inappropriate behavior as well. I began to use the chains of reporting towards my leadership, for my leadership, as far as the abuse of men and women, children across the base. I was at one base for 6 years. And I was fortunate because I have a minor in Soviet studies that in 1988 I had the opportunity to go to the Soviet Union, and this was during the Gorbachev years. And when I came home from that trip, I saw a remarkable look on many of the people's face as before the wall came down and during Glasnost. And that was very big eyes in which people would look ahead. They were very robotic. They did not speak, and they were reluctant to communicate with virtually anyone. When I came back to my base, I would witness the same look in the face of women and men throughout my units. And please know, I received the Officer of the Quarter, the Officer of the Year. I would be named the Female Supervisor, Female Federal Supervisor of the Year 1992. I also went through a great deal of abuse, which included rape, gang rapes, and such like that. The areas that I can now share with you is the fact that there are four areas that are typically associated to these attacks. They are physical, psychological, sexual, and technological. The evidence for that, which supports this information, as the other speakers have spoken on and delineated, includes Dr. Barry Trower, who is an MI5 scientist, who spoke on tetra waves and scalar waves, which were actually experimented on women protesting nuclear weapons in a military base, the Green and Commons, in the 1980s. John Pompei from MIT was the creator of the audio spotlight, which had the technology to be able to be pointed at anyone, and his voice would be in their ears, in their head, as if they're talking on a telephone call. No one else would hear that technology, that disturbing use of technology around them. And so the people who were targeted with that, and this is all on YouTube, thought that they were nuts. This is also, as far as scientists and research, you have doctors Martin and Irvin from Harvard that in 1969 were putting in a chip in the brains of girls and women who had been brutally abused to change their behavior with an electrical pulse. Several mention Jose Delgado, that in 1974 he had put two brain chips in each an 11-year-old and a 16-year-old child who had no mental or medical problems whatsoever. The 16-year-old would go from a perfectly normal young woman to beating in rage on a wall and a window. The 11-year-old boy, again, who had no medical problems whatsoever, would go from knowing he was a perfectly healthy young boy to thinking he was a girl and wanting to marry Jose Delgado. Now, this information, Delgado would go on to say that in 1974, he wanted to put the chips into the minds of every military person from the youngest rank, the lowest rank, to the highest ranking generals, because he felt that they had a right, he and his comrades, had a right to control people, control the military, develop their minds, because they didn't have a right to develop their minds and control their bodies. This was also substantiated by a Dr. Colin Ross. In his CIA doctor's books, also in his military mind control book, as well as he speaks about the great psychiatry scam, and that's the third book of his. In these books, in total, what he does is he delineates clearly the scientific evidence and experimentations that have been done on people by individual doctors, CIA doctors, in which he also has 15,000 pages of medical documentation that he got from libraries that shows inhumane abuse of citizens both in the United States and globally. This was not just hardware technology, but psychological, and many of the other previous speakers name those as well. This is not simply being used on unwitting and unknowing citizens, but this is also showing up in what I call, and what a young lady by the name of Kathy Morgan from the UK has stated, it's called trauma networks. This is an organized criminal behavior of traumatic networks, groups of people that are collaborating and cooperating. I witnessed this while I was in the military. They would often go after individuals who had been raped, who had spoken out against defective chips in weapons that would put our military members at risk. If by any chance they were asked to give away money or other illegal or immoral actions, they were gone after by these systematic and well-organized groups of people. Since leaving the military and having been a commander for 6.5 years, I left the military solely because I could no longer witness civilians, children, military men, women, and spouses, or foreigners being brutalized, and having been raised in an America that I knew and was raised to abide by the laws, I read the UCMJ Uniform Code of Military Justice every year to assure that I was up to speed on my job. But what I have found is that that didn't happen. When I left the military and even through the Veteran Administration, numerous locations, again, when I speak of these different organizations, please know there are good people within these systems. I know for certain there are good people in my government, there are good people in FBI, CIA, and other organizations because I've had the opportunity to work with them. But what I have witnessed as well is a systematic breakdown of moral accountability based on the laws that were in place in the 1980s, 90s, 2000, and since, when good people cannot get help, such as our military or civilians, when being gone after, then we have to begin doing the research. And as I said, both Kathy Morgan and Wynn Creech, together they have done, and they do actually independent presentations, both present documented evidence from the United Kingdom that entail, in the 1980s, research that was being done on programming the human mind. Now, programming is also featured by Fritz Springmeier in his book talking about mind control and programming. This is the overlay in which by the four areas of traumatic, ongoing and continuous traumatic breakdown of the person, and also with the help of these gang stalkers, if you will, the person begins to be so traumatized that it then opens up their subconscious. In the subconscious mind is how people can be most affected, impacted, and undermined with the technology, the weaponized technology. Once that happens, people go into significant fear, trauma, and intrepidation. And please know, when I was leaving the military, having witnessed a great deal of inappropriate behavior, illegal behavior, I was repeatedly warned, given death threats, and told that they were going to find a way to put me in prison, even if I didn't do anything wrong. I have had death threats to my face. These individuals work below the letter of the law, in their vernacular, much like people would once have believed before The Sopranos, the mafia kind of languaging, the Ku Klux Klan. Again, it is sophisticated, yet simple and deliberate, keyed and pretty much manipulated to impact the victim. This often does not begin at a quick pace. It is a slow build-up and escalation towards the victim as a means of controlling their behavior. From my observations over the years, the majority of the people that I have witnessed who have been subjected to these cruel, brutal, and inhumane treatments have been both moderate liberals, moderate conservatives. They are of every economic, religious group standing, in which they simply wanted to protect their fellow human being, to report the wrong, to report government money or theft within their company that would put people's lives at risk. And in so doing, they became targeted and brutalized people. In just a few more bits of information, on the military side, you can, military as well as civilian, you can find additional evidence of these intentional brutalities that have targeted individuals in the DVD documentaries of Constantine Sword, Deliver Us from Evil, Unnatural Causes, The Invisible War, and Justice Denied. Each one of these together talks about the intentional and deliberate abuse of hundreds of thousands of individuals It also puts together an historical perspective that goes along with the other information that I've shared that details how and why these systems have come together, what is their intent, what is their unfortunate outcome, which is often the abuse of and brutality of human beings. The question I would also like to pose is, as a government employee, as an employee in this country, we have been asked often as we grew up to be honorable, to report crimes so that we could have a civilized society. I have worked for FEMA. I have worked for a governor, a former governor, who in Top Off 4, which was the largest anti-terrorist exercise in the world, as the Top Off 3 planner, the lead planner. I believe that when I was doing that work, that whether or not I worked at a state, a federal, a local level, my job was to do my job and to make sure that children of every age and adults in this country were safe. I completed each and every mission always with the intent of saving money as well as saving lives. Yet by reporting crimes, even when I was in the military, I was labeled a whistleblower. And my question is, what is the difference between a good, upstanding citizen who dares to share information to protect citizens, such as had I have been around during the time of Pearl Harbor or the Oklahoma City bombing before it happened or 9/11 before it happened, if I would have reported what I knew and the evidence that I had gathered, would I be considered a whistleblower and gone after? Whistleblowers in this country, people who want to protect our nation and our national security before it escalates, before there is a major disaster of significant impact to life, property, and loss of human beings' ability to concretely understand what's going on, is dismissed. And I reported the crimes that now have been reported as epidemics in our military. And this is not just a military issue, but please know in front of me I also have the Inspector General's training, the United States Army Inspector General's training records and training report, 2004. In it, it talks about sexual slavery and military sexual assault. It is time for us to work together as people, and part of the philosophy of these groups is to cause fear, to cause terror, to cause confusion, and to take control and to pit people against each other to undermine various groups. So as I've seen from Reverend Pinckney and other people on this line, the ideal is, you know, we don't want war. We do not want discontent. We want peace. But even in my life, as I've seen with many other folks that I've known throughout my career, and many of them are now dead, sadly.
You got about 30 seconds before I want to bring on Elvira, and then I want to bring on our guests, hoping that they will say something, okay? So you got seconds, then I got to bring on Elvira, then I close out with Kim. Go ahead.
Often many TIs are denied the opportunity to work. When we have gotten work, we've been attacked in jobs, fired for reporting those physical attacks, as well as we have been fired for bogus reasons. And I witnessed this again first from other peers who had had honorable careers and also from myself. And with that, I will turn it back to you, Reverend Pinckney.
All right. Hey, I want to thank you for that. That is really, really tremendous. We don't have a whole lot of time, so let's use the time we got. And I want to bring on Elvira. Elvira, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney.
How you doing today?
I'm hanging in there, still.
All right, just want you to say hi, Thomas. Hi, Nelson.
Pardon?
Say hi, Thomas. Hi, Nelson.
Hi, Thomas. Hi, Nelson.
Right, this is my good friend Elvira. Right, I got to move on. We don't have any more time, so I want to go to Ken. Ken, you got some closing thoughts before we bring on our guest?
Well, not really, Reverend Pena. The only thing I can say is that if anybody's listening and they can help us out, because this torture that they're doing to all the TIs, this is against humanity, and these people will find out later. But I'm afraid by the time the American public wakes up, it may be too late. I'm hoping it's not, but I think it is, because they do plan on turning this on the whole American public. And thank you, Reverend Pena.
All right. And listen, I just want to say to each and every one of you that, hey, I really, really enjoyed you, and I hope that this thing really, really, really explodes into something that people can understand how serious this matter is. And I'm going to bring on Thomas first. Thomas, are you there?